You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
The Beat, that's the title of our series. As I said, we've been in Genesis for quite some time now. Last series we talked about the journey of Abram in chapter 12 to about 22. Where we studied the birthing of a nation through Abram. And then today we're going to talk about the heart of God for the nations across the globe. And then actually, we'll still be in Genesis until next month when we dive into biblical anthropology and see how the original design, intent, and purpose of God was for men. Or for man, rather. And so we'll be in Genesis for quite some time. And so let's take a moment and pray, and let's trust this, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in this time. Lord, thank you for this morning. We're grateful for your word, and even as we look at the scriptures again today, we ask that you would open up our hearts, minister to every single one of us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak, that, Lord, you would anoint the preaching of your word. Lord, your word is already anointed, but you would anoint the preaching of your word so that you would minister to all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me start with a question. Have you had something broken you had wished could still be restored? Right? Whether that would be your watch, right, an iPhone XS, the new one, and then you broke it, right, or a laptop monitor, your Leica camera lens, you know, or even a habit, you broke a good habit, okay. The other day I was thinking, because we've been teaching in our couples retreat every weekend, somebody gave us that Ferrero Rocher box, right, and so I've been trying to stay away from sugar for many, many months, and then I broke it, okay, I broke my streak, all right, and so I finished that whole box. And so, you know, I broke that streak. Something was broken, like maybe a friendship or your heart. Okay, naks. Okay, and so, or whatever that was broken in the past, or you have a thing right now that you have that's broken. You know, years ago, I remember this building wasn't there yet, it was still gravel parking. Anybody remember that gravel parking? It's been quite a while. And so I parked the car, and then I got out of the car, and I had a lot of books with me, right? And I put my phone on top of the box of the books. And so you can almost certainly imagine what would happen next, right? As I tell you this story. And so I was trying to, bring everything in one sweep, right? And sometimes, you know, it's because of laziness. You don't want to go back to your car. And so I stacked all the books. I had my backpack, and I put my phone on top. And so right when I got to the place here where there's all these tiles were, it slipped. Okay, my phone slipped. And it's like, you know, in the movies when everything begins to shift into slow motion mode, it seemed like it was slow motion. It's like, no! Okay, and when it fell on the right at the corner of my phone, right? And I heard it, okay? And so it cracked the screen, and I brought it to the experts. Green Hills, all right? they tried, okay? I should have, you know, brought it to, the Apple Store. But I brought it to, you know, being a cheapskate. And so I brought it to, Green Hills, and it was not quite the same anymore. Okay, after that, they changed it, they fixed it, sort of, but it wasn't the same again. And, you know, as we start the series today, I think about not just my iPhone, but the things that have been broken in the past. And we've tried to fix it, but it's not quite the same again. I don't know if you've ever had that. A relationship, a friendship, a marriage, even yourself. You know yourself, you know you're broken, and it's not quite the same. It's not like the original. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And if you think about the grand story of Scripture, and you know, sometimes we think about Scripture, there are portions of Scripture that are difficult to understand. Some are easier, some are tweetable, some are not tweetable. And so, what is the Scripture all about? And if it were a play, you could actually divide it into four acts, right? Some people divide it into five, some six, some seven. But we'll, for today's discussion, it'll be just really for four acts. No? If you can divide Scripture, or at least the story of creation, the story of God's redemption, it'll be in four: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. This would be the big story of Scripture, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, if you talk about creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? To create, the word create that was used here is the word that says to create something out of nothing. Usually, you and I, when we create something out of something, right? To bring what never existed before into being. Only God can do that. Only God has the ability. Okay, what God created did not come out of pre-existing material. Right? And so today we see, all of us, we create something out of something. And C.S. Lewis calls us sub-creators. Right? Because we were created in the image and likeness of God. We create things, but we cannot, in and of ourselves, create something out of nothing. Only God can. Right? And so, but when you look at Scripture, over and over, it's interesting that it says when He created, everything was what? Good. God created the dry land earth. I called the dry land earth, and the waters were gathered together. He called them seas, and God saw that it was good. Chapter 1, verse 12, the vegetation, the plants and all that, and He said it was good. Chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, the heavens He created. And then it was good. 121, the sea creatures and every living creature that moves. And the Bible says, He said it was good. 1 verse 25, the beasts of the earth, all the animals, He created every single one of them. And the Bible says it was good. On the sixth day, He created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says in verse 31, it was very good. Okay, look at the person beside you. That person is very good, okay? When God created the person beside you, including the person on your chair. Okay, that's you, all right? And so, and when you look at the word good, it meant pleasant. It meant properly done. It meant it was working well. Everything was working, right? Nothing broken. Nothing destroyed, nothing imperfect, nothing incomplete, none of that sort. And so when God created the heavens and the earth, He was building a kingdom community starting with Adam and Eve. All right? And so He started, and because nothing was broken, nothing incomplete, you've heard of the word shalom, which is peace. Peace is not just inner tranquility so that we can sleep well at night. Shalom is everything working well. It's well-being. Physical well-being, spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, relational well-being, societal well-being. This is what you mean. This is what it meant by the Hebrew term, or even in the Jewish concept of shalom. It's not just peace so that you can have inner peace. It's peace that everything's working right, well-being, everything working well. And so that was how God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when you talk about the fall, the Act 2, okay, God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They can eat from anywhere in the garden, from any tree in the garden, except from this one. All right? And so, guess what they did? They went to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 3, the eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8, and they had heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, and He said to him, what? Where are you? Now, question, did God really not know where they were? Of course not. He's God. He's omniscient, and He knows. He's everywhere. But His question is a resounding question to this very day. Where are you? Where are you in this relationship? Where are you in terms of our connection? Where are you today? It's a good question. And from then to this day, because the relationship was broken, He's asking that question. Where are you? Okay? See, that's what happened. Sin broke something. When there's rebellion, it broke and it put a barrier. It broke that fellowship and that relationship. Our relationship with Him was broken. And see, sin broke something that was humanly impossible to restore. That's what happened when there was rebellion in the garden. Because of the disobedience of one man, sin came and sin put a barrier and it became humanly impossible to restore that relationship. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, and it is clearly, those of you who've gone through that booklet one-to-one, you would read this verse a lot. And the Bible says, but your iniquities, your sin, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. The sins that we've committed have put a wall or a barrier, and it destroyed that relationship. See, that's what sin does. Sin breaks, and sin broke something that was humanly impossible to restore. And, you know, it broke our relationship with God. It corrupted our identity. You see, today, then they were naked and unashamed, and then when sin came, they realized they were naked, and they had full of shame. To this very day, that's everybody's, people feel that, not just physically, but internally as well. That we try to keep up, that's why there's performance orientation. Because we don't want to feel that shame. We cover ourselves up with every single thing that can try to prove that I am worth it and that I have value. We do that, don't we? We try to manage our image. You go on Instagram, you know, I woke up like this, but you're looking nice, right? And you just do all you can to fix yourself up. You curate your pictures so that you cover every shame and embarrassment. We want to be accepted. Nobody wants to be rejected. And because of sin, to this day, this is something we try to cover. Sin broke something that was humanly impossible to restore, broke our relationship with God, broke our identity, and it broke that shalom that God established in the garden. That there's supposed to be physical well-being. Our bodies were supposed to be perfect, but because sin came, now you have cancer, now you have asthma, now you have all these different diseases that are plaguing our bodies. No physical shalom, no emotional shalom. Then there was no anxiety, there was no depression. Now it has set in. Sin has brought that. Relational, then there was no conflict, argument, wars of that sort. Today there is. Why? Because of sin. It broke something. Societal, then there was no social injustice. Now you see it. You see social injustice. And I told you about the man I met who's a member of the church, June Godornes. He has an advocacy on online sexual exploitation of children. And he's, as young as 2 months old, it's like, it's just dead sick. And he has an advocacy, and he has all these shelters with a foundation that he works for, and trying to save these 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. Okay, and the moment they see a laptop, they start crying because of trauma. That's how bad it is. And so that's what sin has broken, has destroyed. You see, even all of creation, you think about creation. I got a text message about our missionaries to Palu, Indonesia. They were doing a missions trip. Pastor Roy and Pastor Petra of our Jakarta church, Every Nation Jakarta, they were reaching out to the city of Palu. And I don't know if you heard, there was an earthquake in Palu. And this is now that building. Okay, that's how bad it was. And so Rosma, okay, one of our team members there got stuck. Actually, in that building, for 24 hours, they couldn't hear from her. They had no clue where she was. She was stuck in the building. Thankfully, after 24 hours, she was rescued. She was okay. She's fine. And so you see, like in Romans chapter 8, it says there, the whole creation is groaning for the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, our world is broken. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to determine that. Even the young people today, they check Twitter, they know there's brokenness in Syria, in the Philippines, and in all these different nations of the world. We see it. And that's why from creation to fall, and now since the fall, God has decided to bring restoration, and He is on a mission to rescue and to restore. And a lot of Bible scholars call it the Missio Dei, meaning the mission of God. That now, from the time of the fall, He's wanting to restore. He's wanting to rescue and redeem mankind. And what's the third act? The third act will be the redemption. Genesis 3:15. Okay, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is God speaking to Satan, okay, in the form of the snake, between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, okay, talking about the Messiah that is to come. This is the first gospel. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. All right? The scholars call it the proto-evangelium. Okay? I'll throw that in so you think I'm smart. Okay? I just read that. Okay? But meaning it's the first gospel. It's the first gospel. Right? And so right at Genesis, after the fall, God declares, I'm going to save you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm not going to let you stay the way you are. I'm going to send somebody. The one that I will send will crush the head of the enemy. Surely his heel will be bruised or stricken as if he was going to be defeated in Calvary through crucifixion, but he will rise from the dead and he will win over death. He will crush. Romans chapter 16 says, verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan's head under his feet. The Bible says. That's why in Genesis, right when you get into Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come. And that's why right in the middle of history is what? B.C.? A.D. Before Christ, right in the middle of all of history, Jesus Christ comes. At the fullness of time, he comes, born of a what? A woman. Exact words that was used in Genesis chapter 3:15. The prophecy being fulfilled. Now Jesus comes. And because that of him coming, he comes now as king to restore his kingdom. Now he came in a different manner though. Threw people off. Because if this is supposed to be the messianic king, why is he coming as a suffering servant? He came as a suffering servant and he served and died on the cross. But this king is not going to, when he comes back second time, he's not going to come back as a suffering servant. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Revelation says. But what was his first sermon, if you remember? Mark chapter 1. What did Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. See, the gospel is not just the gospel of salvation so that we can go to heaven. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. He created the kingdom in the garden, kingdom community with Adam and Eve, and it was supposed to multiply, subdue the earth, flourish. But sin came, and that kingdom advancement was somehow deterred or stopped. Okay? But he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So he now comes as king, and he inaugurates the kingdom when he came 2,000 years ago. And that's why, imagine this. He would preach and teach. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, he would preach the gospel of the kingdom and he would heal diseases and sicknesses. And he would perform miracle signs and wonders. Why would he do that? Because he was demonstrating in the kingdom of God, there's not going to be any physical diseases. In the kingdom of God, there's no emotional torment. So he casted out demons. In the kingdom of God, there's no social injustice. He helped the poor, the lame, the weak. That's what he was trying to establish. At the coming of Christ, he was establishing his kingdom. He was inaugurating the kingdom. And so that's why when the kingdom is fully established, there's not going to be any physical brokenness or emotional, relational, spiritual, societal. And so when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, at the resurrection, he inaugurates the restoration process. Remember, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Death has been defeated. What was the cause of the death, which was rebellion of Adam and Eve? Now he defeats death and he restores shalom. He restores the peace. He restores that everything should be working the way God originally planned it. What the first Adam caused, the second Adam, Jesus, restored. And so, last part of the act, creation, fall, redemption, restoration. God is restoring his original creation. That's why, if you check out Revelation 21 and 22, it's actually a mirror of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. The last two chapters of the Bible and the first two chapters of the Bible, this was the original creation intention. He's just restoring it, Genesis 21 to 22. Okay? So now, you think about this for a moment. There are things in our hearts and in our desires that long for this restoration. There's this guy whose name is N.T. Wright. He's actually a Bible scholar, and he's a theologian, and he says, there's inside of us, which he called echoes of a voice, meaning inside of our hearts are echoes that keep shouting inside of us. And these are the four he gave: quest for spirituality, longing for justice, desire for relationships, delight and beauty. And let me explain one of each. When you say quest for spirituality, it's like Larry Crabb said it this way: we are hopelessly religious. Meaning in our hearts, we want to worship something or someone. There's just a bent and a propensity and proclivity to want to worship somebody, or just even adore an NBA basketball player, or not bow down and worship money, but just there's just this idolatry towards it, idolatrous affection towards it. So there's a quest for this because God put that inside of us. There's a longing for justice. When you hear about that 2-month-old or that 12-year-old being abused, in your heart, it's like something is upset. This has got to stop. Whether Christian or non-Christian, that you feel that. Every person feels that because there's a longing for this restoration. It was supposed to be this. We're not like this. And God is going to restore this. That's the feeling inside of us. The desire for relationships. We're created for community. You cannot live alone. Even monks, even if they go on up in the mountains, they live with other monks. They have to live in community. And that's why in the statements that you hear, like, no man is an island, those kinds of statements, it's innate in our humanity. And then delight and beauty. You look at, you know, you go to, let's say yesterday we were in Tagaytay, and you watch the sunset. When you watch the sunset, it's so beautiful, isn't it? But it quickly fades in darkness. You wish it could just stay there forever, because it's so beautiful, but it stays only temporarily. And you take out your phone, you take a shot, but it doesn't just quite capture it. It doesn't just quite capture it. That's the longing and the delight for beauty. You want to capture something, but you see, all this will be restored one day. That's the restoration project. That's the mission of God. That yes, he's restoring our souls. Yes, we're going to heaven. Yes, we're doing that. That's all that's happening. But it's not just that. There's something bigger than you. The goal is to not just consume Christianity. The goal is not just to have a nice chair in the seat in the auditorium and enjoy the aircon. It's to see the kingdom of God expand and established again on planet Earth, where heaven and earth meet and the new Jerusalem and the new kingdom established. This is the gospel of the kingdom. You see, the quest for spirituality, we've been restored and reconciled back to the Father through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Longing for justice, there's going to be a day of recompense. There is going to be a day of retribution. Desire for relationships, it's been restored through Christ. No longer will there be relational dysfunctions in heaven. He will restore that. And then delight in beauty, what you see temporarily, you will see in eternity. Inside all of our hearts, this is a longing. Let me try to finish it. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And we're not just called to enjoy church. If this is our thought, our idea of Christianity, it's myopic. That's why Jesus said. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This gospel of what God's going to do. Yes, we're going to get saved. Yes, we're going to be justified because of the blood of Jesus in Calvary. But what he originally intended creation to be, he's going to restore that in due time. It's going to happen. You and I now, as Christians, we're ambassadors of this kingdom. We're now agents of this kingdom. You are an ambassador of Christ's kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What does it mean to actually be an ambassador, to be an agent of the kingdom of God? Do I need to sell my business so that I can go to Pakistan? Do I need to quit my job so that I can go to Indonesia? What do I need to do? Well, listen, you can be an ambassador of the kingdom of God wherever you are today. You can be his missionary wherever God's placed you today. You know, yesterday, last week, one of the guys in my men's group, or our men's group, texted me. He works for, actually has a company, Hybrid Social Solutions. And he just texted, he says, you know, hi everyone, please support our efforts to provide solar-powered solutions to communities in Laginan, Sarangani, by topping up your purchase the next time you go to Coffee Bean. Anyway, so he was, I don't have endorsement sponsorship from Coffee Bean, okay? But anyway, what he's saying is, I've partnered with Coffee Bean, and here's what I'm doing. He says, we provide solar-powered solutions because 20 million Filipinos still don't have electricity in the Philippines. 20 million. And listen how this translates. If you are in the number one cause of death of moms today, okay, in childbirth, you know what it is? It's because of bleeding. Bleeding can easily be stopped by this certain injection of a medicine. But the reason why they don't have that medicine is because they don't have electricity. They don't have a refrigerator. The reason why they don't have a refrigerator is because they don't have electricity. And that's the number one cause of death in the provinces today for moms who are giving birth, internal bleeding. How many of you know that could be stopped? And so this guy right here, he's advancing the kingdom of God. He is bringing that shalom, that original intent and purpose and design of God in the kingdom, in the garden, to bring it now to where he is at. That's what it means to be an agent of the kingdom. Yes, you preach the gospel, and you cannot not preach the gospel. We have to preach the gospel with our words, but also with our life. We just don't proclaim the gospel. We demonstrate the gospel. Last week, many of you gave to the relief operations, and sometimes we don't even announce that we're going to do relief operations, but you start giving. You guys are that crazy generous. We have to stop you from giving, okay? You guys are so amazing. And so, you know, sometimes we don't announce because we want to make sure that, you know, you're just giving unto the Lord. And so anyway, our Victory Church in Tuguegarao, Pastor Ross Rosuelo, partnered with Samaritan's Purse. How many of you know that's advancing the kingdom of God? That's proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel, and people are getting saved. And not only are people getting saved, they are being helped, and they understand this is the gospel of the kingdom at work. Alan Hirsch, who's a missiologist, this is what he said. He said, a missional theology is not content with mission being a church-based work. Rather, it applies to the whole life of every believer. Every disciple is to be an agent of the kingdom of God, and every disciple is to carry the mission of God in every sphere of life. We are all missionaries. Look at the person beside you, okay? He is a missionary, right? Wait, I'm not a pastor. Wait, I'm not a cross-cultural missionary. Wait, I'm not a Bible teacher. You all are missionaries. When you signed up for the kingdom of God, when you became a Christian, when you are a Christ, or you become a Christ follower, you are now a missionary for Jesus Christ. Amen. You are the army of the living God, part of that army. See, God is on a mission, and the church is called to join that mission. It's not the church that has a mission. It's God who has a mission, and he asks us to join that mission. God's on a mission. Let me give you a few more examples. This is Ruby, one of our ushers. I was talking to her earlier. Ruby on the left. And she was talking about, you know, she lives in Blue Boss in Makati, in a community in Makati. And she reaches out to teenagers in her community. And she reaches out in her community. She's not a Bible teacher. She's not a pastor. She's not a cross-cultural missionary. She's not a seminary student. None of that sort, but she's reaching out to her community. And she has brought many teenagers to Christ who she was able to at least pluck out of drug addiction, pluck out of teenage pregnancy, of all these different things that they can do or can be done to them. And so because of that, she's advanced the kingdom of God in Blue Balls. How many of you know that's the kingdom of God at work? All right? And so Danny and Josie Francisco, they live in one of the buildings here in BGC. I think it's Ascensa. And so what do? They just share the love of God with neighbors. They did yesterday like an art play of sorts. And so they brought in their neighbors and said, we want to share the love of God and let's just play together. And how many of you know that's advancing the kingdom of God? And so bridging the gap so that we can bring people to Christ. And you see, I read this book years ago. It's called, or not years ago, but last year. It's called Reimagining Evangelism. Sometimes we think evangelism is closing the deal right away. It's not closing the sale. We think of it sometimes as sales agents. Don't think of it as sales agents. You are travel guides. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes we think, you have to accept Christ today. If not, you're going to go to hell. Right? And so, let's just walk with them. You know, what does that mean? You go to the office. Hey, I heard your mom's sick. Can I pray for you? How many of you know that's evangelism? Oh, you know what? I heard that this is something going on in your family. Can I, just go and visit you? You're engaging and inching them closer to the presentation of the gospel of the kingdom. We don't have to be sales agents. We don't need to close this sale. Because, the Bible says somebody will water, somebody will plant. Somebody, maybe you will harvest, but don't think you're the only one. You're harvesting because of your work. No, somebody planted. Somebody watered the seeds. God is the one who made it grow. God is in a mission. And has called the church to join that mission. See, God's called us to do this in this nation. And to call and to also do this in every other nation in the world. See, as I told you, every one of you here, you're missionaries. You're a missionary, but you're paid by ABS-CBN, okay? You're a missionary, but you're paid by Globe, okay? You're a missionary, but you're just paid by your company, okay? You are a missionary there. Next week, we'll talk about it some more, of what God's doing in the different nations of the world. But I want to go back to the question I asked earlier. Have you had something broken you had wished could still be restored? What was broken inside of us was because of what happened in the garden. But today, because of our faith in Christ, the Bible says outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed. There's a restoration process God's doing. And that, you know what? Something was broken, your heart, your soul, your relationships. Okay? Time will come when we get to heaven. Time will come when heaven comes down and the new creation is ushered in. We'll understand, as Romans chapter 8 says, we've been washed and redeemed, but since we've waited for the coming of the Son of Man, now we've been restored and we've been renewed. The old order of things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good news. It's not good advice. It's not good suggestion, but it's good news. And this good news, that what was broken will be restored. Our identity, our value, our worth, sin ravaged it. But today, because of a faith in Christ, we can be made new. We have been made new. For anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that, Lord, while we see that at work now in our hearts, the kingdom is in our hearts, already here, but not quite here fully yet. And Lord, you're establishing your kingdom in our hearts, in our families, in our community, in our society, in our nation, and in every nation of the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us even grasp in a greater measure what this means. And so as we bow our heads, I just want to give an opportunity for some of us here today. You've understood in greater measure what it means, what the gospel is, what the good news is. It's not just the gospel so that I can go to heaven, but it's a gospel that God wants to restore whatever was broken, and sin broke something. And I want to pray for some of you here. Some of you need to be restored back into fellowship with Him. That relationship with God has been broken. God wants to restore that relationship. If that's you today, just lift up your hand and you say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you, Jesus. Restore this relationship I have, or you have with me. Just lift up your hand. God bless you. There's several of you. God bless you. God bless you up there. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, sin has broken me. It's broken my relationship with you. But Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Because through that sacrifice, I can be reconciled back to the Father. And so, Lord, right now, in response to your beck and call, I run back to you. Be my Master, my Savior, my Lord. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. I want to pray for one more group of people. See, what we have with us is a hope. It's hope, undying hope, and it's hope that says, this life isn't all that there is. It's hope that says, it's all going to pan out later on. It's hope that says God will restore and fix things and make whatever was broken restored. That's the hope that the Christian has. That while we see the brokenness all around us, we can actually sit and say, it's going to be okay. Because my God is in charge. He is King of all the other kings. He is Lord of all the other lords. And my situation today, I put in His hands, because one day He will make all things new. So bow your heads with me. Lord, I pray for those who are going through a season of brokenness, or it's been decades, or actually, Lord, some of us, it's been since we were born. We felt that emotional brokenness, and we felt that relational brokenness. We felt that spiritual brokenness. But Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that through Christ, you will restore every single day. What you started, the Bible says you will complete. Lord, you said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Lord, that eternal life is not just life in heaven. It's life, abundant life, Zoe life, now, here, this very moment. So we embrace that. And we say, Lord, we receive that life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can we all stand? Sai, pray for us as we leave. I need us to understand, number one, whatever brokenness you have, and that's real, just be self-aware. Yes, that's there, but God's restoring. That God has brought you to a place of completeness and perfection through Christ and in Christ alone. That's why Jesus says, Tetelestai, it is finished. We can stand before our Heavenly Father pure and holy, not because of what we have accomplished, but because, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your blood in Calvary. What Pastor Joel talked about in communion earlier. Thank you that we have this relationship with you. Let me pray. Lord, I pray as we leave today, Lord, let us remember that we are whole in Christ. And we are ambassadors of the kingdom. Wherever we go, you have sent us. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so wherever we go, Lord, I pray that your righteousness, your peace and joy of the kingdom will go with us. May the love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.